broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And we are with you each and every night. Truth is our bitch here. We go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't, and we do. And so that's where that is. Great to be with you this evening and every evening. As I say, we go to the dark places that other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. In fact, this is not really so much a talk show as it is, I don't know. It's you're eavesdropping on something really, really strange. Herb Sewell witnessed a child in danger. Herb Sewell is a news contributor on our program. You have to understand that Mr. Sewell spent 8 years in a forensic psychiatric hospital, what we used to call hospitals for the criminally insane. And he spent 8 years there for crimes against children. He witnessed a child in danger, but chose not to do anything. Why? He's going to join us and tell us why on our program tonight. David G. Hall is going to be on here in just a moment as we talk a little bit about the last 48 hours with regards to this photograph with Michelle Bachmann, the photograph with her husband, and now there's a photograph with Governor Perry, and it's all from the Iowa State Fair, and we're going to be talking a little bit about that. Plus, R.C. Collins, Ted Bell, and Chris Norton will be stopping by tonight. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. In our affiliate spotlight tonight is KRPT in San Antonio and WTKG in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Longtime affiliates here of the Phil Hendry Show. We'd like you to join us at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. That's where you get your backstage pass, and you can look at live streaming video of our show right now, as a matter of fact. Our show is streaming live in HD, and behind me are clips of the Tarawa landing by the Marines in World War II, D-Day, and some Nazi film footage from Nuremberg, which we are using as B-roll behind me on our green screen. So,
a lot of people probably be historical units, everything like that.
Yeah, whatever you said, bud.
Doesn't make no sense.
Whatever you said. All right.
Well, it's historic and stuff.
Yes, it is. It's historic. 877-876-PHIL. We just put weird stuff up on the screen. You can look at it if you want. We'll have the Rick Perry corndog shot if that really guns your engine. You know. 877-876-PHIL. Let me get David G. Hall on the line. David, I know that you are traveling tonight with some of the other guys.
Yeah, I've got Bill with me. I've got Bill Benedict, and I've got one of the other sales guys. And I told you, as you know, I said I would never, you asked me once, and I think you're right, you asked me once, when should I come on, when should me, David Hall, come on, and you said it should be an emergency.
That's right.
And I've tried not to abuse the privilege, but I think tonight we are in a little bit of an emergency situation, and the emergency is this. I don't want to come on here and tell you how to do your radio show. I don't want anyone to come on here and tell you how to do it. They can listen or not listen. They can do what they feel is best. But because I've got a business association with you, it is something that I want to do.
Well, you've done it before, and I don't know whether or not it's anything. You know, you've done it before, and that's fine, and I don't know that it's anything that I like, but I have said to you, and you're right, you may come on this program and talk to me about what you think is important to know about the running of this show, what you think is important to know about the production of this show and how, you know, how the show should go and so on and so forth. So to that end, you know, I appreciate you coming on here. What I didn't like was sometimes it felt like I was being
ambushed.
Ambushed a little bit, yeah.
I apologize for that. And
all right.
But I don't want to do that to you, but I think we need to talk about something, and I think that in talking about this, this is going to put you at the cutting edge of what's going on in the radio world and in the world of entertainment tonight. The Michelle Bachmann photographs of her eating a corn dog and her husband eating a corn dog, and now my understanding is I got a call from Bud Dickman, you've got this.
That's another thing. I don't like having a spy in my studio.
I'm not spying or anything.
No, he's not spying. You know.
Well, yes, he is. If he's calling you up, he ought to tell me first if he's calling you up. okay?
I just called and said there's a Rick Perry with a corn dog.
He just called up. He said they're... I asked him to call me, and I said, but if you see anything that is unusual...
Well, that's what I mean. He's calling you. Why doesn't he come to me?
Hold on. I said, because of the situation we're in, and I said to him, if it's a corn dog, and we just used that shorthand, I said, if you got a corn dog situation.
And you called up instead of corn dog.
Right.
And he did what?
I asked him to call, if you'll allow me to finish. I asked him to call and give me a two-beat alert, corn dog.
And what is that supposed to mean?
What is it supposed to mean?
I'll tell you, it's supposed to mean...
Hold on, bud, I'll tell him. It's supposed to mean that I've got you on the air, and you're talking about this sophomoric stuff. Now, I got to tell you...
So he calls up with an alert. Why doesn't he just call you up and say, hey, Mr. Hall, Phil's talking about corn dogs?
He went because you weren't. He saw that you put the Rick Perry picture of as he called it, and he said to me, corn dog, Perry's sliding one, or Perry's deep-sixing one.
And corn dog, Perry, what?
Perry's deep-sixing one. So I said to him, thank you. That's why I wanted to talk to you tonight.
All right, but I still say that's him spying, and I don't like it, okay?
All right, you don't like it.
Mr. Hall said...
I don't care what Mr. Hall said. I don't like it. You talk to me first.
Fine. I mean, I don't want to get you angry. What I'm saying is the entire situation with the Michelle Bachman corn dog is way over the top. Here's what I mean. It's one of those moments in, if you will, entertainment that is so obvious and is such a huge target that everybody's aiming for it. And I think last night, with you working that corn dog material, and with everybody else, from Jay Leno to you know, whoever, everyone else working the same material, I think it fell flat. I think that the fact that Bachman is a woman who, let's face it, she's a pretty big target. She's got the husband that's, you know, people got questions about. She says a lot of weird stuff. And then on top of that, they got the picture of her, and I heard all the stuff you were saying with the eyes rolled back in the head. And
well, I wasn't saying that stuff. I mean, it was...
whoever was on the show that I'm talking about that...
It was Larry Grover was saying that.
All right, but I'm saying that it's too big of a target. It's too obvious a target. And I think you stiffed the hour. It wasn't funny.
That's what I tried to tell him, and he wouldn't say nothing. And
shut up, will you? Stiff the hour?
Yes, I don't think it was funny.
Oh, you don't think it was funny? You know what I told you once before, okay?
I know what you mean about radio executives.
That's right. Radio executives don't talk about what's funny and what ain't. That's what they stay far, far away from. They don't go near it, okay?
But I'm saying something that's bigger than that. I'm saying it made you look less of an entertainer by taking on such an obvious target.
And in what way did it make me look less of an entertainer?
You were doing what everybody else was doing. Everybody else was talking about, hey, look at Michelle Bachman. Hey, she's got a corn dog in her face. Now you got Rick Perry with a corn dog in your face. Everybody's going to think you're Stephen, you know. Everyone's going to think you're sniffing Stephen Colbert's rear end.
Yeah, just sniffing Jay Colbert's farts. You know,
will you... Dude, shut up.
What'd he say?
Sniffing Jay Colbert's farts. You mean Stephen Colbert?
Yeah. I told him it was Stephen Colbert. Keep saying Jay.
Hey, bud, it's Jay. It's Jay Leno.
Okay, I forgot.
Okay, now that we got that settled. So, the Michelle Bachman stuff was... I stiffed it. It wasn't funny.
Well, it was funny, but it was funny obvious. It was funny, like, whatever, here we go. There's Michelle Bachman. Didn't you know that when she was going to be at this Iowa State Fair, she's going to have a corn dog shoved? Now I got a prediction for you. You want to hear the prediction?
Go ahead.
When the Democrats arrive, for whatever the hell it is they do, Iowa or whatever, watch the photographs come out with everybody from Obama to whoever. I don't know. Who's a Democrat? Like Pelosi. Oh, I can't wait to see that. Wait till you see the Pelosi with a corn dog shove. That's going to happen.
Well, you know, if I was Daily Coast or whoever it is you're talking about, then I would make the statement editorially, by the way, folks, T-minus 7 days to the Nancy Pelosi corn dog photos.
Well, I mean, at least that would be funny, but I just think that, but even still, you know, I mean, she's also a pretty big target. I just think that if you got a Michelle Bachmann who's already very strange, very strange.
Yeah, she's very strange, you know.
Hey, what are you, man? All of a sudden the assistant program director?
Shut up, bud. She's very weird. And then put on top of the fact that she's weird, the corn dog in the mouth, it's too easy. You understand what I'm saying? What's that? Dean's here, but Dean says it's very difficult to sell that.
You know what? Tell him to sit back and shut up, okay? I don't want to hear from a sales guy telling me what's tough to sell. Tell him to get out and sell it anyway.
Get out and sell it anyway. That's what Bill said. You don't want me to repeat that.
Let me tell you something, okay? All the stuff you're saying right now is very valid. Absolutely. I don't need to hear from a sales guy telling me his problems, okay? Get out and push it. Sell it.
Well, we got a down economy.
Oh, we got a down economy. Do we have a down economy, really? You want to know something, man, what separates the men from the boys? You know what it is. Get out and make the freaking money in the middle of a down economy. I'm getting tired of listening to you guys telling me, you guys snivel more than any three-year-old girl I ever saw in my life.
Well, you don't understand. I mean,
yes, I understand. I'm breaking my ass, too. Everybody is. You know, you guys got more reasons, man, for not doing your job. And I don't want to hear some sales guy sitting in your back seat telling me about how tough his life is.
Shut up, Dean. Shut up, Dean. Okay, you happy?
Yes. I'm happy.
I'm sorry, but, you know, it's I go to a client, the guy says to me, what's with all the Michelle Bachmann corn dog material? And
why don't you tell the guy that that's what my show's about? Why don't you tell the guy, why don't you position the show insofar as that my radio show isn't even a talk show? My radio show is an entertainment vehicle, and that's what that is. And if they don't understand it, say, thank you very much. It's been very pleasant doing business with you. And go on down the road, man. You guys, I'm telling you, I got to give you every idea in a book.
You know, I'm just saying that Michelle Bachmann having that thing wedged. Now, I'm not saying I didn't print it off, and I don't have pictures of it hanging up in my cubicle. I'm not saying that we're not, you know, at lunch making all kinds of jokes ourselves. Yep.
Yeah, you just want to hear it on the air.
No, I'm just saying that, you know, it was an easy target. And now you're going after the gay, you know. You're saying a husband's gay. I mean, what if they sue you?
For what?
For saying that he's gay.
You can't sue somebody for saying they're gay. It's a legally protected status. There's nothing about it that is inherently negative according to the law.
Well, I mean, there might be some guys that disagree with that.
Well, then maybe they ought to go see their psychiatrists. All right, I got to take a break, okay?
Oh, come on, man. Are you cutting me off?
I got to take a break. Hold on. All right, so the Michelle Bachmann corn dog in the mouth bit and all of that material, probably a little bit, you know, overkill. No question. I mean, it was a very easy target. All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL. We'll see if David has anything else more to say on the subject. Also, coming up, Herb Sewell and Rick Perry takes a surprising lead in a Rasmussen poll. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Henry Show. What has Rick Perry got to do with anything?
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Oh, you don't just say that.
All right, hold on. Welcome back, world-famous Phil Henry Show. David G. Hall on the line, our vice president of syndication. We were talking about the, and I think it's a valid conversation, David, the fact that the Michelle Bachmann corndog photograph was such an obvious target. I mean, she made herself such an obvious target. I'm not blaming her.
Well, I mean, the fact that everybody took advantage of it. I mean, like I said, the woman is controversial to begin with. And then to jump all over the fact that she's got a corn dog that's being slid in. But and the way you described it, too, by the way, please don't say a corn dog to the face.
What did you just say?
What did I just say? What? I said.
He said it the right way. He said slid it in.
Hey, bud, if I hear you...
Bud, shut up.
I hear you one more time butting in.
Sorry.
Shut up, bud. What do you mean?
Well, what are you talking about? You said... what do you mean, what do I mean? You're the guy that's complaining.
Yeah, I thought that was you.
It was Bud.
Bud, shut up.
I did shut up.
Well, shut up again. Is he shut up?
Will you tell me what it is you're talking about?
I'm sorry. I'm talking about the comments you made. Which, by the way, can I just say something? I'm looking at you on the Phil TV in HD, and I'm looking at World War II. Is there... What happened there?
I happen to like that behind me, okay? It's a little action. It's stuff that's... Just never mind, okay? You're playing critic here, and it's really starting to piss me off.
Sorry, God. I said that you made comments, or Mr. Grover made comments, about Michelle Bachmann having taken a corn dog to the face... And I said there's some...
I never said any such thing about her, quote, taking a corn dog to the face. I understand what you're saying. I think you're absolutely right that we need to have a little more class. There's no question about that, David. And I also agree with you that it's a very easy target. But I never said anything like that.
Well, I'm asking you to use the proper terms. And I think, but it's she slid one down. And
that's the proper term. She slid one down.
I'm trying to find words we can use that's not going to get complaints. I've had people call in the office all morning. You understand?
I understand. That's your job.
What's my job?
I got a talk show. People are going to call. It's the nature of a talk show. Talk shows are controversial. People are supposed to call.
Well, what about these advertisers?
The advertisers should not buy talk radio unless they understand that it's a controversial medium.
Well, boy, you all of a sudden, you know all about selling it.
I know that much about selling. I know that much about selling talk radio. It's a controversial medium. You tell the advertiser the good news is it's a foreground medium, so people are listening very carefully. So that when I go into a commercial, they're listening to me. And let me tell you something else you ought to tell them. This is a recession, and it's going to end. And the businesses that are going to be the best positioned businesses to kick some ass are going to be the businesses that were pushing hard during the recession, not pulling back. And number two, as far as slid it in, or whatever term you want me to use...
I wanted you... Do you have the Perry picture or not?
I got the Rick Perry picture.
Would you please put it up on the Phil TV in HD? Okay, there we go. Yeah, look at that. Look at that. Yeah, look at that. Hold on for a minute, Dean. You see that? Look at that, huh? Yeah, baby. Yeah.
What does that mean, yeah, baby?
Well, I'm talking... What do you mean, what does that mean, yeah, baby? I'm talking about the picture of Perry.
Yeah, but you're going, hey, look at that, hey. I mean, what the hell does that mean? You understand what I'm saying? There it is.
Nothing.
It sounds weird.
You're the guy that was doing all the Michelle Bachmann material.
Look at what's that?
That's the picture of Perry.
Wow.
Oh, you cats are really...
Okay. So what are you saying now? Are you saying I'm some kind of a blade because I was fascinated at how deep he...
All right, shut up and get out of here.
Wow.
Get that out of there, bud. So the Rick Perry picture, yeah, there's a corn dog and his kisser. How come I'm getting this? There's a lot of very strange stuff going on around here, man, that I am not particularly enamored of, all right? I don't like the idea that this is shifting back and forth between Michelle Bachmann and Rick Perry, but there he is, Rick Perry, and he's got that corn dog. Now, here is what we're trying to say, and I think I understand David, and I agree with him. And no, I'm not going to say she slitted one in, bud. And
well, like Mr. Hall said.
No, he didn't. He didn't say that. You're an idiot. You're the one that said it. I think it's absolutely true, and I think I'd like to make that statement, and I concur. Michelle Bachmann is a controversial politician. She is not well-liked by liberals. I think when she is eating a corn dog, as someone said, there is no elegant way, there is no way of eating a corn dog where you don't look like a jackball, okay?
Yeah, but you don't have to shove it in.
What do you mean you don't have to shove it in?
What are you going to stick it all the way down?
Yeah, he got a good point, man.
What point's he making?
Well, look, go back to Rick Perry, and you can see he's not eating the corn dog. He's shoving that thing down, deep and wide, you know?
Yeah, it's deep and wide.
Deep and wide. Let me look.
Yeah, right, okay, right there. Look at that. How come you got to do that?
That's the way you eat a corn dog, man. That doesn't look ridiculous to me. It looks like a guy is eating a corn dog. Now, I think the point was very, very well made, and I will reiterate it. It's too easy to be attacking this poor woman And when I say poor woman, yeah, I mean poor woman. She's got migraine headaches. Frankly, that husband of hers ain't helping. I can only imagine what she's got to deal with. I think she's a very committed ideologue. But I will tell you this much. The corn dog material is over, okay?
Why? This is the funniest thing we ever did.
And you can go ball someplace else. Look at Bud. He's all crying.
You crying?
Yeah.
We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry. Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Let me get back. Okay, hold on for just a second, okay? We're back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I got so bent out of shape, I had to turn the microphone down.
I'm not trying to make you angry or anything.
Hold on for a minute, Dean. I'm not talking to you. I'm on the air right now. Do you understand that?
Trying to give you some pointers.
I understand he's trying to give me pointers. He's a sales guy. And that would be like me giving him pointers on how to sell the show, which I guess I have to. Because I'm here doing my show. I'm here kicking ass. I'm here doing comedy. I'm here building an audience. I'm here with a subscription base for my website. I'm here doing business, okay? Your sales guy isn't doing anything.
Well, I wouldn't say that. I would say that he has some input for you that would help him sell the show better. And that's, Dean, what were you saying earlier when we were having dinner?
Yeah, I think that's one of the things you do know when you have the corn dog.
I said I'm not going to have the corn dog anymore. What difference does the corn dog make? What difference does it make? It was a news story.
I understand. When you have a corn dog, Dean, Rick Perry, too.
Yeah, Rick Perry, yeah, and what?
It makes it very difficult, Dean. We go to an advertiser.
It makes it tough when you go to an advertiser, and the guy goes, last night I was listening to your guy, and he was going on and on about Michelle Bachmann sliding one, and...
I thought sliding one was accepted.
Except the term is slitted it.
Slitted it, huh? Then Bud was right. You know, you guys need a psychiatrist, you know? Hold on, Dean. You know, I'm not talking to you. You weren't my guest. You're sitting in the back seat of the car. Okay?
You just don't like salespeople. That's your family.
My father was a salesman. I loved my father. I watched my father his whole life as a salesman. I saw what he was up against. I saw what he had to do to go out and make a living. But one of the things that my father always did is he always believed in the product that he sold. He believed he liked selling the products that he sold. And, of course, he recognized, as all you sales guys, good ones, should recognize, that you're really selling yourself, your relationship to your client.
Please don't tell us how to do our job, Phil.
I'm not telling you how to do your job. You're telling me that I don't like salesmen. My dad was a salesman.
What did he sell?
My father sold computers. He sold business machines. He sold truck tires. He sold everything. He sold insurance at one point. Okay?
But did he sell airtime?
No, he didn't sell airtime. And I'm not trying to tell you guys how to do your job.
I want to think that what we were asking, man, if we could sit down and just kind of brainstorm some bid ideas.
Bid ideas?
Hold on for a minute, Phil. Now, we got some ideas on how you can turn this thing around, how you can maybe do a Rick Perry corn dog bit. And
you just got done telling me that I was hitting too big of a target with the Michelle Bachmann corn dog material. Now you're telling me you guys want... You guys?
What does that mean, you guys?
No, I got some ideas, too. I'm a very, very outgoing, I'm lucky by party.
Yeah, I bet you're really outgoing at a party, Dean. You're a salesman, okay?
That's right. I know I'm jokes, but I know I'm a people person.
One thing about sales guys, we're people. Okay, so we can contact and connect with people. And we got very good and funny ideas that we could do on the radio show. Perhaps we could come on with you.
No, you guys aren't coming on with me, man. I'd rather blow my brains out on the air. Okay?
Oh, my God. I think there's something wrong with it.
Something wrong with this guy? The only thing that's wrong with me, Dean, is you, okay? Get out and do your job. Go out and sell some airtime. Go out and make some money for this show. Quit telling me how, you know, times are tough and you're looking for the cheap buck. That's the problem with you guys. Every time we have a recession, every time there's a down economy, you guys run for the hills. You desert the ordinary product and you look for the cheap buck. Isn't that what you're doing?
The all-news format is a good idea.
Oh, give me a break. You, all you guys want to do is put something on the air that costs the least amount to produce that you think is going to be an automatic revenue. I got news for you. I got a prediction. Your all news format is going to suck on wheels, Jack. Okay? Ain't, unless you, I can tell you how to make it work, okay?
Wait, well, tell me. Then I'll have some money.
No way. I'm not going to tell you. No way.
Why not?
Because I'm not going to.
Are you telling me you could tell me how to make that format work?
Absolutely. I know exactly how to make an all news format work. Exactly. You think I'm going to tell you? You guys are going to have to pay me more money than you got.
Well, why don't you down? Because we can make the money.
How about if you go out and sell my freaking show, man? How about that? And then I'll tell you all about how I can make that work.
Come on.
Bill, look, Dean's getting upset. And
I don't care if he's getting upset.
Hey, what do you want me to do with this?
What is that?
It's the Rick Perry corndog posters.
Oh, yeah, I was going to tell you about that.
Rick Perry corndog posters? What the hell are these?
No, hold on for a minute, bud. I didn't want you to bring them in. This is the idea. She's... Michelle Bachman's no good, but Perry, with the corndog...
Will you get out, take those out and burn them.
Burn them? You know how much they cost?
Mr. Hall wants me to put them in the studio.
Burn them. Get them out of here.
Oh, my God! You know how much those cost me?
You guys are out of control.
You know how we make the all-news format work. I mean, like to know.
I bet you do, Dean. I bet you'd like to know all about how to make that all-news format work. I know how to make it work. I know exactly what's wrong with all-news formats on radio, and I know how to make them work. All right? But I ain't telling you, because that would be wasted on you. Do you remember a movie called Glengarry Glen Ross?
What did you call it?
Glengarry Glen Ross.
Yeah, I know what I'm saying.
What movie are you talking about?
Oh, have you stopped crying?
Yeah, a little bit. What movie are you talking about?
Glengarry Glen Ross.
No, I don't know it.
In the movie, Alec Baldwin plays the guy from downtown. The guy that Mitch and Murray sent. You know? You know who that guy is, right?
Uh-huh.
And in the movie, Alec Baldwin says to the sales guys, he says, here are the new leads. These are the Glengarry leads. These leads are for closers. I could give them to you guys, but you wouldn't know what to do with them. That would be like wasting them. So you don't get these leads. They're for closers.
What does that mean?
It means that my ideas on how to make things work and not work don't go to you. My ideas go to closers, guys that do business, not to you.
I think that's very unfair if you know how to make the all-news format work and you won't tell us. I've got everything in my power.
What's with the Rick Carey,
Rick Carey?
Rick Berry.
Who's Rick Carey? Is that...
Harry Carey.
Is that Harry Carey's son?
Oh, you start bawling all of a sudden when you think you got me over a barrel, huh?
Well, who's Rick Carey?
I said Rick Perry. What's with those posters?
They were going to be the next phase of the Phil Hendry Show rollout, okay? They were going to be a part of the advertising campaign. I don't know what we were going to say. I just like them because I think Perry's a guy that you can make fun of. Not Michelle Bachman!
I think it's unfair. We sat down and we brainstormed. I got a great idea.
I wouldn't sit down and brainstorm anything with you, man. I wouldn't sit down and brainstorm where we were going to have lunch with you, Dean. You understand that?
I mean, they're grilling you. You don't have any respect.
No, I don't have any respect for you. I will have respect for you when you get out and kick a little bit of ass and put your money where your mouth is and start backing up all your big fat talk and start selling this radio show. I understand times are tough. How many times you want me to listen to you guys snivel and cry about all that stuff? You guys got more excuses. I don't see anybody working around here except me. And then you're wasting your time with some of this. I'm telling you, I heard that mess you guys are screwing around with. It is unlistenable. Absolutely unlistenable.
How do we fix it?
I'd love to tell you, but there's only one thing that I would need.
I know. You want us to sell the show.
No. No, you could pay me a consultancy fee. You could pay me a flat fee of $100,000, and I'll tell you how to fix that format.
Are you kidding me? You think you're going to do something like that?
Yeah, that's what I think.
Oh, Bill, look, I'm not going to pay you. I'm not going to pay. I'm not going to pay.
He's very upset, Bill.
Having a hard time talking here. I'm not going to pay. I'm not going to pay.
You're not going to pay?
I'm not going to pay you $100,000 to tell me how to fix a format that I know all about. Okay? It'll work. Believe me, it'll work.
No, I don't believe you. It's not that I think you're lying. It's just you don't know what you're doing.
It'll work.
Yeah, we've been working really hard in the moment. I don't think it's
going to
work.
What do you want to do with these posters?
Get them out of here and burn them.
No, bud, don't burn them, please, bud. At least hold on to one for me. Just as a keepsake.
Yeah, uh-huh. That sounds weird. All right.
Whoa. What is that supposed to mean? Is that some kind of a gay slur?
Well, what do you mean you want one for a keepsake?
A memory of an ad campaign that wasn't.
I think that's great, man. You watch. I'm going to make a lot of money for you.
Oh, you're going to make a lot of money for me. Well, that's great, man. You go out and you make a lot of money for me then. And good luck with your whatever format it is you're working on. 877-876-PHIL. Get those Rick Perry, butt, I'm telling you.
Get Mr. Hall a very big expense on him and everything.
I don't care. Throw them in the garbage. Keep one for Mr. Hall. He wants one. Rick Perry with a corn dog. So he gives me this big speech about how the Michelle Bachmann corn dog stuff is, you know, way, way, way too much. And he's right. He's absolutely right. The Michelle Bachmann corn dog material, far too easy, too big a target. And that woman how do you say it? It's like shooting fish in a barrel. It's like shooting fish in a barrel. So he's right. And you know, when we were talking about that yesterday with Larry Grover, I remember thinking this is like overkill on someone who's getting the migraine headaches. She's got the weird husband. She says all these goofy things. Even conservatives are uncomfortable with her. Most conservatives do not support Michelle Bachmann. And the fact is, now that Perry is in the race and a few of these other guys, I don't know. She's not going to happen. I almost feel sorry for her. I almost feel like going out and voting for her. Because that's the way I am, you know.
What do you mean?
I'm almost like a performance art voter, you know. I just vote for, like, the weird...
That's ridiculous, man, to do that.
I know it's ridiculous, but that's why I'm, you know, that's why there's something wrong with me. I don't usually vote for a good candidate. I vote for the one that, you know, sort of fits into the day's weirdness, you know.
That's not American. Yeah, that's not even American in anything.
Did you get rid of those posters?
Well...
Get out and get rid of them.
Can he say one for me?
What do you want to...
I don't want my aunt.
Your Aunt Mavis wants a poster of Rick Perry?
Yeah.
Wow.
I know, man. I told her.
All right, we got Herb Sewell ahead still here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and Ted Bell, R.C. Collins as well. Do we got Ted Bell or not? I don't know, but we'll see. David G. Hall, thank you very much, David. And thank you, Dean. You guys need big, big help. But for 100 grand... I'm right there, baby. $100,000, I can save your bacon. Yeah, right. 877-876. I'm not kidding.
You swear.
I'm totally. But let me tell you something, man. Egos are so big in this business. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Hey, are you watching Phil TV in HD, or do you go over to our website, philhenryshow.com? Well, we are having a Phil lookalike contest. Go over to our website, or you can take a look at my picture on Twitter. That's twitter.com/realphilhenry. And if you send a picture that is a Phil lookalike picture to that one, and it wins, then you win an autographed CD, and I will personally autograph it. I'll say something that you want me to say, something like that. And it will be one of our legacy CDs. So go over and toss one of your pictures into our, you know, send it to us at Twitter. And so far, I don't know how many pictures we got up there, Robert.
Probably about half a dozen something. I don't think the prize is good enough.
Oh, you don't think the prize is good enough, huh?
No. I mean, people don't get a CD, so...
So it's a CD. It's a free CD of my material. It's a legacy CD. It's a collector's item. It's a collector's item, man, because these CDs will... Look, first of all, I get it. Everybody's doing downloads. I understand. Okay? So the fact that you've got a CD with original artwork, I mean, it's a collector's item. Some people collect those. And I'll autograph it and whatever, you know.
Well, I guess, but... I think, what's the chance you get like 1,000 people that are going to get one $20 CD?
Hey, that's the breaks, you know. Well, and that'll hold down the entries. So how many have we got?
I don't know, man, but you got like 1, 2, 3.
Where are you?
I'm on the homepage. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Go over to the other page, too.
I know. Shut up. 1, 2.
How fast does it take you to count 1, 2, 3, 4? It looks like 5, right?
No, man, it's 6.
Go to the other page.
Shut up, man. shut up, or something's going to happen you will regret for the rest of your life.
But you'll regret for the rest of your life.
And you too. One, two.
What a retard.
Will you get out of here? There's about six pictures there, okay? God, man. What do you think we're doing here?
Well, I'm not trying to make a Caltech, man. You asked a question.
Everything I ask you guys, you turn into an MIT project. You know that? Oh, well. How many pictures have we got? One, two, three.
Don't want to get it wrong.
Don't worry about it, man. We just want a ballpark. Wow. So anyway, go to philhenryshow.com, send us a picture, a lookalike picture, and by gosh, you could win yourself the Legacy CD. Had a very interesting conversation with a guy today. I like this. And I'm getting this more and more, you know. And if you're a young listener or you follow me on Twitter and you think you're going to score some points by saying, wow, you know, you're sort of from the 60s. Don't you feel out of step with today's America? No. In fact, because I do a radio show and because I'm on social media and because I'm in touch with people every day, I'm probably more in step with people who are like one third my age. However, having said that, it is not being out of step with modern day America to be in favor of, let's say, gay rights, which I am, which I know some people aren't, and that's okay. But it's not like an antiquated point of view.
What did guy say?
Some guy today said, you know, is that a factor of your generation to be like all pro-gay? Yeah, it's really kind of outdated, isn't it, man? Like, in other words, it's very modern and contemporary America to uphold the sort of status quo of gay people. Like, they don't get to be married, they don't this, they don't that. How is that? Are you proud of that, man? Do you call that some forward motion? Do you think that that's like a youthful idea? Why don't you? And then he says to me, you know, by the way, I'm from West Virginia. I said, well, I live in California. I mean, there's a Prop 8 thing that's happening out here. So there's a lot of people that are involved in this. And I said, and you stepped in it, so I'm going to, you know, you stepped in it, so I'm not going to give you a towel to wipe it off. He goes, what do you mean? I said, well, you were asking me about my age and, you know, like, wow, isn't that sort of backward and, you know, isn't that a indicative of your age? I said, is that indicative of you people from the hills of West Virginia?
Oh, man, you call a guy redneck or anything?
I didn't call him a redneck, but I used the exact same kind of stereotyping that he was using on me. So let's say I'm old. Okay, you're from West Virginia. So I'm old and dumb. You're inbred.
Yeah, you should have said, man, how many eyes you got? You got one eye or two? On an inbred man, maybe the two eyes meld together.
Robert.
Don't call me Bud.
I'm sorry. The two eyes, the one-eyed inbred, I don't think that actually exists. I think that was just from that one cartoon, that one comic book I gave you, Preacher.
Yeah, I don't think there's no one eye.
How do you know that, man?
Because it's stupid.
I'm not saying there isn't. I don't want to talk about it. I gave Robert that Preacher Gone to Texas comic book, which is hysterical, which I got from the great Jonah Weiland, who is at Comic Book Resources. And in it, there's some inbred kid with one. He looks like a cyclops, so, you know, whatever.
That is the funniest thing what I ever did seen.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. That much I'll give you.
Thank you. God. BART protests. San Francisco Transit cuts cell phones to thwart demonstrators. First Amendment debate. Check this out. The Bay Area Rapid Transit System, BART, has clashed with demonstrators again over a First Amendment issue, whether it can legally cut off cell phone service on subway platforms. The latest confrontation was late on Monday. The issue broke open after July 3rd when transit police shot and killed a homeless man, Charles Blair Hill, on a train platform. Officers said Hill came at them with a knife. But public outrage over the shooting sparked protests. Demonstrators stopped trains, in some cases climbing on top, and organized their protests by smartphone. The hacking group Anonymous got involved, crashing a BART website and urging people to gather at subway stops. BART responded last Thursday by turning off cellular service to four underground San Francisco train stations. It said the outage lasted for 3 hours and only affected subway platforms where paying customers got on and off trains. Monday night, when demonstrators crowded around stations again, BART closed the stations but did not shut down cell transmissions. That was not the end of the issue, though. In an email to ABC News today, BART spokesman James Allison said this, however, does not preclude the future use of this tactic should it be deemed necessary to protect our customers from the potential of dangerous conditions. One protester, Angel Norris, said, when they're going to start clamping down on people's free speech and people's voice, then that's when I get offended and realize I need to come out and show my support for American free speech.
Now, legal scholars said the transit system's decision to shut off cellular service raises tremendous First Amendment issues that may not be addressed adequately by existing laws. Well, that was a very gutsy interpretation there, legal scholars. A question of how cell phone service should be regarded. Is it a means of free speech like a printing press or a bullhorn? Or, in a subway station, is it a convenience provided by BART, a service it has a right to cut off? You do not have cell phone service in BART stations unless BART provides it. In other words, it's the utility is made possible by BART because of the configuration of these train stations precluding these signals from getting in and going out. So BART facilitates these signals. Therefore, without BART, if BART did not provide that service in the first place, and it was probably a huge mistake, I guess, then you don't have cell service anyway. Forget about whether or not there's a protest going on, right?
I don't get it. If I got a right to have a cell phone...
Yeah.
It ain't got about you. It's not about you having a right to have a cell phone.
How come BART said I can't?
BART's the guy that's providing a service in the first place. You idiot. I don't want to talk about it. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show. God.
Phil.
Don't even talk to it, man.
Let me bet big.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Welcome back here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. It's 877-876-7445. We're here each and every night, Monday through Friday, until 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. We're going to have Herb Sewell jump in just a moment, and we're going to talk about something very serious and potentially... I don't know. I don't know what to call this. We're going to talk with Herb about an experience that he had today. And I have to question his actions. I also have to question the actions, I would guess, of the police. There's quite a few people and entities and individuals involved that need to be questioned. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. And by the way, in the news hour, news and information hour, we're going to have a very interesting discussion I was having with Rance and with Robert and with Bud, although most of the really interesting part was with Rance.
I made some good points.
No, you didn't. And anyway...
Shut up, man.
Yeah, just shut up, Bud. About the right of BART to shut... About the right of the authorities to shut your cell service off if there is an illegal assembly or a potential disturbance being created by or otherwise provoked by the use of cell phones. Okay. So we're going to talk about that. Our number here is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Herb Sewell is joining us on our Newsmaker line here this evening, and we're going to be talking about, Herb, this was a situation today in Laguna Beach, right?
That is correct, yes.
All right. Laguna Beach is a beach city in the southern portion of Orange County on the coast. You were where?
I was near the volleyball nets there in the downtown section of the Pacific Coast Highway, and I was finished eating lunch, and I had sat on one of the view benches there near the cove. If you're familiar with Laguna Beach, there's a cove.
Yeah, there's a lot of rocks.
Yes, that is correct. And so the cove area there was where I saw a young child that was in the surf, but gone out to the surf. And
we've gone out to the what?
Out to the waves, out to the surf.
Okay. Now, I want to let people know before you go any further, you were 8 years at Atascadero for a forensic hospital in California. You were there, remanded there as a psych case, weren't you?
That is correct, yes.
And what were the crimes that that you had committed?
I had was remanded there by the municipal court and state court because of a child abuse. Child relations with a minor, and contributing to the delinquency, which has been dropped. But there are seven charges in total, of which I was remanded for 8 years custody. Actually, the original sentence there was 15 years, but because I completed
these programs that go to, you know, to the Atascadero, which, quite frankly, are ghoulish and, quite frankly, medieval.
Well, we'll get into whether they were ghoulish or medieval, but you were, what was it, electroshock?
Yes, it was electroshock, and it was also insulin shock. And but by the time that I was leaving, of course, I was in a capacity as an intern, not an intern, I should say, as an assistant, prisoner assistant, and so forth. So I left, and I'm now currently a halfway house where I'm given some limited mobility. The only reason why I'm letting you know where I was today is because of the interest in what happened from the police. And I did have every right to be where I was, by the way.
No, I'm not saying that you didn't, but you're going public with where you were so that the police are sad. You told the police anyway, and the news media?
That is correct, yes.
All right. Go ahead with your story.
So I was there on the view bench near the cove there on Laguna Beach, which is, as I mentioned, there a very rocky shoal area. There's also an area there where there is a small protected inlet so that the waves of the Pacific surf don't necessarily overwhelm or inundate any children or mothers or individuals that wish to swim in a shallow area.
Okay, I understand.
It was at that time that I saw this child, Derek, the boy's name, and I watched as this child was in the water and had waded past this reef area, I guess you could call a protected reef area.
Okay.
And suddenly was overwhelmed by one of the waves. It was quite choppy, and there was a large wave which created quite a bit of white water. And the child was underwater, and I sort of stood up because I didn't see a human being or a person come up for quite some time. And I saw the head of the child come up and was carried in the backwash or the resulting back tide out deeper into the water. And so understand that what I'm witnessing here is someone that seems to be in some serious distress. It's not a very large child. I would not say this child is much older than 4 or 5.
Right.
And there's no 4 or 5-year-old that I would imagine can swim even in that area.
All right. Well, if you're talking about an area there, how many yards off the shore?
Well, it wasn't more than 30 or 40 yards, but the water is very deep there because of these, as I mentioned, these rocks. And, of course, it's much deeper for someone that age.
All right.
I watched this, and again, saw this child now had gone past the breakwater, and there was no, there wasn't the crashing surf that there was. So really what we're talking about is this child is down deep water. Now, I was within probably about 100 yards. I could have kicked off my shoes, and I could have raced as fast as I could and got into the water, and while I was running, alerted people. I did not.
Now, why did you not?
Because of the prohibition against me being within a certain area of children.
And now, in an emergency like that, Herb...
I understand about emergencies.
All right, but let me just ask you. There's a prohibition against you being around children because of the... Because of your sentence, the penalty that you're serving as part of your probation and will be a lifetime thing, correct?
That is correct, yes.
All right. So you can't be within a certain several feet of where kids ordinarily gather, and yet there you were at the ocean.
Now, hold on for a minute, because I was well beyond the prescribed area that I am to stay out of. Now, this is 200 feet. I was 300 feet because I knew that I was about 100 yards.
All right, you got to stay 200 feet away from children.
Any place with children, you can't possibly say to a human being, but you can't, oh, my God, there's a child, why aren't you 200 feet away? You can't be within 200 feet of school and...
All right, okay, I understand that. So now you see this kid, now the kid's in trouble. Did you see any other adult?
No, that was the whole point. There was no one. I was looking back at a gathering of adults on the sand, and there were 2 or 3 women. There were probably about 3 or 4 small children, and not a one of them had their face turned toward the ocean, and not a one of them seemed to recognize that at least one of these children was gone. I don't know if this child belonged to that group of adults, or if there was another group of adults somewhere in the area.
but I did not see. And so I'm watching this child as the child is drifting. And the first thought that I had, God forgive me, was, and I say this, Phil, because I've talked to you for many years, and I've been very honest with you.
Okay.
The first thought I had was, and may God forgive me for having this thought, I hope that child drowns.
Good God.
Hold on, hold on. I hope the child drowns, because then it will be driven home to these people that I could have saved him, but I was prohibited from doing such and had to sit and watch as the kid went, you know, in the old cartoons, you know, three times the charm or something, I'm going down for the third time, something like that. And
well, I don't think the cartoons are anything to bring up.
I understand that, of course, Phil, but what I'm saying is...
So you were perfectly willing to sit there, wait a minute, and you I hope the child drowns.
That was the first thought that I had, yes. The second thought that I had was, someone's got to do something, but I'm not going to do it. I could get up, I could run, I could make noise, I could scream, I could say there's a kid in the water over here, people have to give, you know. But I wasn't going to do that. I wasn't going to risk my neck getting beaten into a bloody pulp by some redneck who probably thought that I picked the kid up and threw him out there. And
so in other words, you while you were, you know, maybe not hoping for the kid to drown, you were perfectly prepared.
I was perfectly prepared for the kid to drown, yes.
Perfectly prepared for the kid to drown, because no way were you going to get involved.
I can't get involved. I can't get involved because of the prohibition against me being within a certain number of yards of children.
And you're trying to tell me, and if you're right, you're right, that even in the event of a threat to life and limb, even in the event that you're the only capable person around when a child is at risk, you're not allowed to go near that kid.
I don't know, but I'm not going to, you think I'm going to take a chance? No way. As the saying goes, you know, when I was in Tascadero, I met a young man by the name of Garson Williams. He was there. He had killed, I don't know how many people, quite a few people. But he had this saying, said, no way, Jose, no way, Jose. That was he used to say, no way, Jose. And I've always been touched by that and struck by it. So I would say, am I going to take a chance to go save this child only to be beaten within an inch of my life by some large, sweating redneck on vacation from God knows where? No way, Jose is what, you know, gave it in my mind. That's what they said to me. Well, did you try to help? I said, no way, Jose. And it sort of was just, I was repeating in my head, you know. And
okay, I understand. No way, Jose. So Herb Sewell is joining us, a convicted child molester, who today was in the Laguna Beach area and saw a kid that was at risk. The child, 5 years of age, had drifted out into the surf and quite possibly was going to drown. And because there is a prohibition, Herb, against you being around children, areas where children gather, and you were outside the limit of that, you did not do anything. You just sat and watched. And Herb even said that there was a point there where he almost wished the kid would drown so that people would then see how unfair it is for him to be kept from these areas. We're going to get back here with Herb Sewell. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. No, I don't believe him, okay?
That's pretty stupid.
Hold on. We'll talk to Herb in a minute here. 877-876-PHIL. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
He doesn't call me stupid. You can. He can't.
Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show on the line with me from, from his residence. We are not allowed to disclose where that is Herb Sewell. Mr. Sewell is a researcher for a few of the local universities. He also was remanded to psychiatric care for 8 years of a 15-year sentence for child molestation and crimes against children. And he joins us on our program. He is one of our news contributors. And we've had you on our show, Herb, because I want people to know you have you've been very articulate in your desire not to offend again.
Absolutely, Phil.
well, there's no question that I have recognized in my life the horror of what I've done. No question about it. And
all right, so let's talk about why were you down at this at Laguna Beach today in proximity to this children's swimming area?
Laguna Beach is an area, Phil, where there are not only children, there are all kinds of adults. And the area that I was at, in the volleyball area, in the area that is a lot of weightlifters meet there, a lot of volleyball and so on and so on and so forth, this is also a very well-known area for sandcastle. And there is a sandcastle competition that I very much enjoy, that I've been a part of for a great many years, in Laguna Beach. And I was in the area where the competition is going to take place. It was nowhere near the children area, and I, as I've said to you, was not about to make the mistake of running afoul of the law. So the point of your question...
Well, I want to make sure that you weren't down there doing anything. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not down there doing anything. I'm not denying that there are days that, the old feelings aren't scratching at the box trying to get out. No question about that. But, however, I am one who knows very mindful of what the dangers are of that.
All right, so you're down there, and you are watching this child who is suddenly at risk. The child has gone from this picnic area on the beach, has now moved out into the sand, moved on into the surf, and this child is now caught and is drifting and looks to be in some distress?
Well, I would imagine so. All I could see was the child's head. I don't imagine that the child was going to last much longer. And I have to say, I pulled out, I had a watch, and this, if it sounds ghoulish, I don't mean it to sound ghoulish, but there really wasn't anything I could do. I had some lunch. I pulled a bag of cashews out, and I had a stopwatch. And while I was eating the cashews, and I was pouring myself some soup that I'd made, a very good soup that I made last night, and I put the stopwatch on how long the child's head stays above the surf. You have to understand it.
But see, to me, that just sounds so ghoulish. You don't want to be ghoulish. You put a stopwatch on how long the kid's head stayed above the surf.
I can't do anything about it. You understand? I can't get up and do anything about it.
Well, why didn't you yell and point?
Then I'm going to have people saying, oh, the child molester, look at this child molester. Look at the child molester was staring at the child. And they'll save the child, and they'll come up to me and say, look at you hanging around the child molester.
Then they would say that you saved the kid's life.
No, they won't say I saved the kid's life. If I start jumping up and down, they'll think I had ulterior motives. Not at all, no, not at all.
So if you hadn't sent it, so in other words, if nobody saw this child, and eventually the kid was retrieved from the surf, is my understanding, if no one had seen this kid, what would have happened?
You would have had one dead kid.
One dead kid.
That's right, because I can't chance it. I can't chance it. And so, as I said to you...
You were up there eating what? You were...
I had some cashews for lunch, which I had brought along with me, and some soup. And I'd already made a phone call to one of the professors that I work with, and that I had called in some of the research material that I'd gotten for him. So I was taking a break, and I was having lunch, and I looked, and I saw this kid and everything that I've described to you, and I realized that if I went down there, someone's going to arrest me. If I jump up and down and say, hey, there's a kid out there in the surf, they would say that I was looking at the kid because there's something wrong with me. So I decided that I would not say a thing. And if the child died, then the child died. And the only thing that I could do would be to somehow chronicle the moment. And that's what I was trying to do. I took out a stopwatch. I had a pen and pencil out, and I was juggling all this, you understand, because I'm eating, and I'm eating soup. And I was contemplating, I had a Starbucks coffee, so how do I keep this warm? And
but I want to just be clear here. There's a kid out in the surf that is going to drown. And you're eating soup and eating cashews and...
What else am I supposed to do?
Well, I don't know. It just seems all so very casual, you know.
Well, no, it was not casual. I was chronicling the moment. I had the stopwatch out. I was taking a look at the sun to see at what point, if I could chart how many yards away...
So while this kid's drowning, you're chronicling how far away he is. You got a stopwatch.
Yes.
And you're just checking out to make sure that there is that if the cops were to ask you, you can say to them, "Here's what happened."
Yes, and I can say to them, and you'll notice I didn't go near him. I didn't go near the kid. I had my cell phone out, in fact. I took three or four pictures of myself sitting on the bus bench with the cashews, the stopwatch. Then I had someone take a picture of me with my back to the child. So, in other words, you could see that, yes, I was in the area. There's the child floating in the water, but I'm not doing anything about it. That way I could show that to the police, and I could prove to them that while I was in the area, I was not attempting to make any contact with this child and was perfectly willing to allow this child to drown. And
Don't you hear what you're saying?
About what?
About perfectly willing to let this child drown.
I can't run the risk. Apparently you didn't hear what I said. I said that if I were to say...
No, I understand what you're saying and that you might have run the risk of being arrested. If that's what the law says, then the law's got to be changed. You know...
Oh, look at you. The law's got to be changed. Aren't you something? Well, Norma Ray. You know, I have to tell...
Why are you mocking me?
Why am I mocking you, Phil? The law's got to be changed. Do you understand that as a convicted sex offender, I'm not really legally allowed to be anywhere? I don't think I'm even allowed to be in my own shoes. You know, so you're going to change the law to say what? That if I'm not legally allowed to be anywhere. However, if we happen to see a child drowning, would you please go save him? No, not me. No, I'm not going to play that switchy-poo. No way.
So instead what you did is you took pictures of yourself.
I had someone take a picture of me, and I said, you see the kid over my shoulder? They said, yeah. I said, get the kid and me. And they said, well, it looks like that child is in trouble. I said, well, that's the point of the photograph. I said that I'm a convicted sex offender, and I'm not going near it. And they said, my God, why? I said, I explained to them.
Well, why didn't they do something?
Because I told them to take my... I don't understand what you mean. I told them to take my picture.
So you tell them to take your picture, and that's more important than them going down and helping this kid.
I don't know the reason why people think the way they do. I'm just saying I told them to take my picture. So that's when I...
All right, hold on. Herb Sewell with us here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show on the day at the beach where a child was in trouble, but he didn't lift a hand to help the kid because that would have been a violation of his probation. Phil Hendry Show.
Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Well, famous Phil Hendry Show, welcome back here. On the line with me is Herb Sewell from, as I mentioned, from his residence. We're not saying where Herb is. He is a convicted sex offender. Where he lives is... where he lives is protected information. He is also restricted in his movements. And we're talking about being at Laguna Beach today where he saw a child wading into the surf and eventually getting caught by the surf and pulled out. Eventually this child was saved, but Herb, you took no steps whatsoever to tell anybody. You didn't take any steps yourself for fear that as a convicted child sex offender, you might be apprehended or worse, the object of some sort of vigilante?
Yeah, absolutely.
You were afraid of some kind of vigilante action?
Well, I don't know. I mean, in these situations, you read the newspaper and you hear about these Judge Dredds. And they're all people that I suppose we mean well. But I'm not exactly, in the mood to test that. So I... My feeling was the following thing. I've got to document the event in which I did take pictures of the child drifting out into the surf, and I was using the video feature of my camera to record the moment when, God forbid, the child be sucked under the surf. Because I was eating cashews and drinking soup, there's the impression that some people have that I was being cavalier. I'm not being cavalier, but I'm eating lunch, and I'm certainly not going... I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Do I not eat lunch and sit and weep?
Well, Herb, I'm wondering, somebody's going to lose their life, and I know that there are prohibitions against it, prescriptions against what you can do and where you can be, but what if you yelled and you say, well, you didn't want to yell because then it would seem you were in the area and you shouldn't be in the area. You were well within your rights. You said you were beyond the limit of whatever this is, 200 feet.
Exactly, but I can't be sure
as to the vigilante aspect of this. If some redneck came up to me, someone with an axe to grind, someone who wants to get his picture in the newspaper. You know these people who want to get pictures in the newspaper. Someone who wanted to get his picture, want to be on this Anderson Cooper or whatever. I don't know. So I kept my counsel. I sat, I ate cashews, and I drank soup. I took photographs. I documented as well as I could the event. And
all right, let me go to a phone call here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Here is Jeff in Temple City. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, I'm listening to your program right now, and I'm just wanted to ask this guy a question, if I could.
Go ahead.
Yes, sir. If you were like had access to something where you were able, I don't know, to get a rope or get any kind of tow device over onto the kit. I was not in any position. Well, hold on for a minute. What I'm thinking about is the lifeguard station would have a tow device where you could tow the kid out. And the only problem, the only thing you'd have then, Mr. Henry, of course, is you do have to have someone who's going to be there to grab the kid because you're not sure how much you're going to tow the kid out. And if you tow the kid across the sand, then you're towing the kid up on a sidewalk. You know?
I don't understand.
What are you talking about?
This man said he saw the kid. He's not allowed to put a touch. He's not allowed to put a hand on it, right?
No, I'm not allowed to go near children because of the term, the conditions of my probation.
Yeah, well, what I'm saying was, you could go and somehow get a tow rope attached, get in your car and tow the kid out. Now, all you need, because I did this one time, not because I'm no sex offender, not that I didn't have no sex or nothing with a kid or anything, but I mean, I did attach it to a kid that was in the surf and could get out because the kid was overweight and nobody could really help the kid because the one man that was there had a bad back. And another.
Okay, just get to the point of the story.
All right, well, we put the rope around a kid. I got in my truck and I towed the kid up. And I looked back and I towed the kid out on the PCH. The kid got towed. He got towed down the asphalt. It was front of, you know.
But you towed a kid out of the water how?
Well, because the kid was overweight and we couldn't get him out and he was wedged because of the suction of the sand. I don't know if you're familiar with how everything goes down at the beach and everything.
I'm familiar with the beach. I'm familiar with sand. What happened?
Well, this kid was really overweight and the sand will suction down if it gets wet. And the kid got suctioned. So as the tide was coming in, we were worried about him, I guess, you know, being underwater and everything.
Uh-huh.
And so I put the tow rope around. I put the tow rope around the kid, and I got into my truck and I pulled him enough so that the suction released. But the kid, they didn't tell me how far I had to go to get the suction removed. So I dragged the kid across. It turned out anyway. I dragged the kid across the sand, up some steps, across the sidewalk, down the asphalt, and then into I guess a couple of palm trees. And I kept on towing. And the kid got pretty much wedged in the tow trees. And
what do you mean tow trees?
I mean the palm trees.
And well, what happened to the kid?
Well, they had to finally use some kind of battering ram to get him out of the palm trees.
But my point, and I think Mr. Henry wants to know, you pulled this boy out of the surf, but you continued to pull him until he was out onto the.
Yeah, out on the PCH, because I didn't know. I didn't see him. I was counting on people to tell me. I had a walkie-talkie, and I gave my friend Chris Toby Bo a walkie-talkie and said, okay, Bo, give me a heads-up, you know, when the kid's out, when he's out. And I'm waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. He didn't say nothing. And why didn't your friend tell you something? Because obviously, Phil, you
pulled this kid out of the surf. You pull him across the sand, you pull him up, you say, some steps, across the sidewalk, down PCH, and then into two palm trees.
Yeah.
Well, how does that happen?
Because my friend Toby Bo didn't give...
Who's Toby Bo?
He had the walkie-talkie, right?
Yeah, he had the other walkie-talkie.
He had the other walkie-talkie. So, in other words, you weren't sure how far to pull this kid because you couldn't see him?
I was waiting for Toby Bo to tell me, some of the people that was there. But the point I'm making is, why didn't Mr.
My name is Sewell.
I'm sorry?
Herb Sewell, sir.
Why didn't you
you know, attach a tow line
because I couldn't get down to the child to attach the tow line because, first of all, it would be unnecessary for me to attach a tow line if I were allowed to be within 200 feet of the child. But because of the nature of my probation and the terms of my parole, I am not allowed to be within 200 feet of a child, or 200 feet of a children's area. So I was not allowed to go down there, and I would not have needed to attach a tow line anyway. I could jump into the water and get the child.
Oh, okay, so there wasn't a suction area.
What do you mean by suction? No.
The suction...
I know what he means when there's someone heavy... No, the child is not overweight.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I think it works pretty good, but like I said, I'm not a guy to tell me.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. I'm not really familiar with... I don't know what he was talking about.
I know what he was saying, basically. He was saying that, why didn't I just go down there and pull the child out of there? And I could not go down there and pull the child out of there. He's talking about putting a tow line on the child. Well, the child was not as big as this fat pig. Oh, excuse me, I shouldn't say that.
Well, that's a hell of a thing. He was talking about another kid.
Well, some of these kids, you know, that fat pig of a kid. If I can tell you this right now, I would have felt bad if that little boy had drowned today. But if some fat slob of a kid...
Why the... Boy, there's some... Do you see? There's still hostility there, Herb.
Yes, there's hostility. You're right. But I am staying as far away from trouble as I can get. You have to understand something. I was perfectly willing to see a child die today so that I wouldn't go anywhere near the child. And what I'm saying is I didn't want to see that boy die. But if it had been some fat slob of a kid suctioned to the sand, my hat's off to that young man who just called the program. I think he did. He was above and beyond the call of duty. He had attaching a tow line to some fat slob of a kid.
What is the anger about?
I don't have any anger, Phil.
No, you do. You have anger about a fat slob of a kid. What is that?
Because, Phil, that child in the surf today was me, many, many years ago. That child in the surf today was me. I was at Lake Arrowhead. I was with my parents at the time. And I was literally going to drown. I had fallen from an inner tube that some other kids had. I was paddling furiously, and I realized that my arms were growing very tired. I was very young at the time. I was only 6 years old. And there was a kid sitting on the shore. His name was Sammy. This was the boy's name, and I yelled to him. I said, Sammy, please, Sam, please, help me. And he turned around, and he turned fully around. He was sitting in the sand, and I remember him just shifting his weight and turning at the waist.
Uh-huh.
And I remember clearly to this day, I will never forget, the chocolate that ringed his mouth, the box of Milk Duds, the staring at me as I said, Sammy, please help me, I'm dying. And then he turned back to whatever asinine thing it was he was doing. I never did find out. I went under, Phil, and it was for the love of God that I was saved. Another swimmer came along and found me, but I was unconscious.
Oh, good God.
I was unconscious. They pulled me out of the water. They were able to revive me. But to this day, when I see some fat punk kid sitting on the sand, I think of this Sammy and the chocolate around his mouth as he's, you know, chewing on it. And I don't even talk to me about Milk Duds. If you go there with me, if you go to the Milk Dud place with me.
I understand.
Yep.
Sammy, huh?
That was the kid's name, and I said, Sammy, help me. And he probably thought, oh, it's just that freak, Herb Sewell. I'll let him die. Well, now you know how I felt. Now you know how I felt today as I watched myself struggling to survive. I literally was looking back through the years, Phil, watching a little Herb Sewell struggling to survive. And what did I do? I'll tell you what I did. I had a handful of cashews, a sip of soup. I was going to say soap. I sip a soap of soup. So I'll forget it. I can't even talk right. I don't talk good anymore.
Did you take your medicine today?
Yes, I took my medicine.
All right. Well.
I know what I was going to say. I saw myself out there in the surf, and I thought to myself, "Die, Herb. Die before all these bad things happen."
Well, that's a very sad thought, man. That's a very sad thought. I'm sorry that you had that thought. And to the extent that you were not able to help that child today, I'm sorry that that happened. And the fact that you were splashing around in Lake Arrowhead,
And this kid's name was Sammy, huh?
Big fat tub of gut, Sammy. We used to call him Sammy the Gut. Many, many years before there was Sammy the Bull, you know, Sammy the Bull Gravano.
Yeah.
We used to call him Sammy the Gut because he was just a walking gut. And when he sat there in his little Hawaiian bathing suit and he turned at the waist and he looked, I'll never forget the ring of chocolate around the mouth and his fingers caked with chocolate almost running down his hand as he was chewing on a milk dud and he had three more in his hand ready to shove into his mouth. And I said, Sammy, please, I can't swim. Get someone. And I thought I saw his shoulders quiver as if to laugh, and then he turned back.
You're kidding. You know, how do you know you're not making this up? How do you know you're not...
Oh, what do you mean, making it up?
How do you know you're not imagining this? This sounds like such a bizarre...
This happened to me. This fat little tub of guts sat there and was willing to watch me go down for the third time so he could finish his box of milk duds? Gotta be kidding me.
The child, he might not have known what was going on. Maybe he thought you were kidding. Why would you attribute to him such nefarious intention?
Because he looked it. When I look into the eyes of a fat kid, I see murder.
Boy, I think you still need help, man.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. Today, I resisted helping a kid so I wouldn't go back to the joint, and you still think I need help.
When you look into the eyes of a fat kid, you see murder.
Him murdering me. Me not murdering him. Him murdering me.
All right. Herb, the best of luck to you, and...
Oh, I love it how you blow me off at the last. So, in other words, right when I'm the weirdest, that's when you end the interview. All right, fine. Goodbye.
I mean,
Yeah, you did hang up. I can see that the board is now black.
That doesn't take anything to see that. He can see that.
I can tell the guy hung up. Herb Sewell, ladies and gentlemen, a tale of woe from not only today at Laguna Beach, but... years ago at Lake Arrowhead. 877-876-PHIL. Of course, we have our news and information hour coming up. I don't know whether it's Ted Bell on the line.
I'm going to find out if he's going to call back.
All right, so Ted called in. We'll see if Ted Bell is on the line with us. R.C. Collins is supposed to check in as well. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
Sammy, help! Sammy! Sammy!
Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And you heard the number there, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And we're here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. All right. Now, next hour, we may have visits from Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills, some business decisions being made there, might have a visit from R.C. Collins. We want to talk here briefly. Now, what was the other thing we were going to talk? I had one other bit of news that I wanted to get into here. But we're going to talk briefly here about that BART situation.
Yeah, but that's a cell phone.
About the cell phones. You know, here's the thing. And I don't know. I'm not a constitutional scholar, but I do play one on Twitter, and so does everybody else for that matter. You know, everyone's a genius, and everyone knows what the story is when it comes to the law and the Constitution and all of these other things. Here's the thing. There are laws against illegal assembly. There are laws against illegal assembly. There are laws against speech that endangers. I shouldn't say there are laws against it, but the free speech, yeah, there are laws. Free speech has been interpreted by the Supreme Court famously as you're not allowed to say fire in a crowded theater. And as far as assembly goes, you can't threaten the peace and security of the community. Now, somebody will say, if you revoke people's ability to use a cell phone, you're not just revoking the ability of people who are going to commit a crime from using the cell phone. You're revoking everybody's ability. But the same holds true for when you're going to be in a when you're going to an assembly. See, you are revoking everybody's ability to be in that part of town. What?
got Harvey Wireman, he's an attorney on a phone.
Well, I mean, am I allowed to finish up what I'm saying here?
Yeah, you can finish, but you're going to make an ass of yourself. And that's why I called up. I'm sorry.
I'm going to make an ass of myself how?
Well, first of all, you're not a lawyer, you know.
No, I'm not a lawyer, but is it all right for me to understand the Constitution?
What did you say?
I'm not a lawyer.
You're not a lawyer, so is it all right for you to understand the Constitution? Yes, it's all right for you to understand it. But you don't know what you're talking about, because first of all, you know, you talking about the Constitution on a talk show, you should say, I'm not a lawyer.
I'm not a lawyer, folks.
Okay. Now go ahead.
Go ahead what?
Go ahead and say it. I wanted to be here on the phone to listen to you in case you... You see, the Constitution of the United... hold on. The Constitution, Phil, of the United States was formed by the people, so we would have a more perfect union. You know that, okay?
Yeah.
All right, and when we do that, we are trying to create laws that are going to help man, not hurt him. Now, let me tell you, when you say that people have no right to gather just because it's going to affect the public safety, that's not necessarily true. We have in our country the right of assembly to redress grievance, even if it does make the authorities angry. Now, here is the history behind the Constitution so that you and the people that listen to your program understand. I'm a lawyer. You know me as a criminal attorney, right?
Yeah.
All right. I'm reading directly now from a essay that was done on the Constitution. It says here that
the Federal Convention convened. Are you reading this?
Yes, I'm reading it. Do you mind? The Federal... Federal Convention convened in Tehei. Tehei. Stata.
In the state.
In the state, yeah. In the state, Haussa. What is this that I'm reading? Is this English?
Yes, you're reading English. Have you got your glasses?
Hold on for a minute. Candy, get Grandpa's glasses. Get Grandpa's glasses, honey. Thank you. Not the ones from Disneyland. These are too big. What are you doing? Can I...
Hold on for a minute, okay?
Oh, well, don't get all pissed off. I know about the Constitution.
I understand, Harvey, but I got to take a break. We'll be back. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Stata Tahuese. I don't know what that is. Is that Indian?
From the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show. And we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. Harvey Wireman was with us in the last segment, and I apologize, Harvey, that we had to break away to get to our news and to other things that we had to take care of. You were on here telling me, in your inimitable way, that I have no right to talk about constitutional issues because I'm not a lawyer.
You know, look, Phil, I don't want to come on here and sound like I'm a pain in the you know what. It's just that I've spent a great many years. Hold on for a minute. I got to spit this out somewhere. A great many years as an attorney, and when I listen to your broadcast tonight, I've been enjoying it very much.
Thank you.
When you start to talk about the Constitution, and it's the same way, Phil, with a lot of people. I'll listen to a lot of people, and they'll say, "Oh, you know, the Constitution, this and this, and all of that," and I want to just scream. You know, I want to tell them to shut up. Just shut your mouths. You know, I hate you. I have such hate for people that talk about it. They don't know what they're going to talk about, you know. So that's my whole thing. And
I don't mean to badmouth you, Phil. I think you're a good man. I think you mean well. But I think you've got to be careful because you're going to get a lot of people killed. You know, when they go out into the streets, they try to be all constitutional, and they wind up getting their asses handed to them, you know.
What do you mean I'm going to get a lot of people killed?
Well, when you talk about here's what you're allowed to do out in the streets of America by the Constitution of the America, you know, I don't know what are you talking about? You know, you have every right in the world to say how you feel and what you do and everything that you feel about it, and you know, and quite literally you have the right to say how what you want to feel and literally physically what you want to put your hand on to feel. And
all right, hold on, Harvey. I mean, with all due respect, we don't have a lot of time.
What do you mean you don't have a lot of time?
Well, you're going on about how I have every right to say how I feel, and what do you mean how I put my hand on something to feel?
I'm saying to you that you have every right to say and express your feelings under the Constitution of the United States of America, even insofar as it has nothing to do with actual feelings, but has to do with what you feel if you were to... Do you understand what I'm saying? I was involved in criminal defense.
No, I don't understand what you're saying. The Constitution tells me I have every right to what?
To express what it is you felt. Do you want me to spell it out?
Yes, spell it out, because I don't know what you're saying.
You're saying you have every right to feel it?
I'll do it. Don't tell it. I'll do it, okay?
All right, but I know what you mean.
Great, you know what I mean. What about the other idiot? Do you know?
Yeah, I think I know what you mean.
All right, so you've got two idiots there that understand me, and you don't?
Are you telling me that I have the constitutional right to express...
What you felt up.
What I felt up?
Yes, that's what I meant about feelings.
Well, I don't know what that means at all. I mean, doesn't that get to...
That's free speech. Oh, my God. Come on, Phil, tell me I'm dreaming, if you're that dumb.
You got some of the weirdest ways of putting things that I have ever heard in my life. I have every constitutional right to express my feelings, including what I feel physically.
Yes, or if you like, what you feel,
what you cupped.
What you cup, yeah. Well, what, are you not going to say anything because you're all angry because because I'm a lawyer and you're not?
No, I'm not saying anything because, you know...
Go ahead, say it. Go ahead, say the A word.
Alzheimer's.
No, I don't have Alzheimer's, pal. I don't have Alzheimer's. And I know what I'm talking about. And those two idiots that work for you, they know what I'm talking about. Now, let me get back to this article that was written by Jack Fulbert. And this is the article for the Constitution. And this is the most sacred document that the world has ever known. Now.
You need some water, Mr. Wireman?
Yeah, let me get some water.
It's the Phil Hendry Show. Harvey Wireman is on the line with us.
Yeah, Mr. Wireman probably needs water.
I know. He's getting water right now, bud.
I got some water. Honey, get Grandpa's glasses. Not the big ones from Disneyland, no. I can't. Those are not real glasses. Give me the Dean Adele. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I want. Hey, Phil, do you know about the Dean Adele glasses?
No, I don't. What, are we doing a commercial here or something?
No, we're not doing a commercial. If you don't want, I won't mention the guy's name, but I got these glasses at the supermarket. You know the ones?
Yeah, I know the ones.
These are great. These are great. I can see. I'm going to tell you something. I got X-ray vision with these things. I'm not kidding. I can see Mars with these. And I put them on, I can look right through a woman's dress.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about the glasses I got. What, am I stuttering tonight or something? Hold on, am I stuttering tonight?
No, you're not stuttering tonight. I don't know what you're talking about when you say
I got these glasses from the supermarket that are the name of the guy that you don't want me to mention, okay?
Yes.
All right. And I'm telling you, they're fantastic. I can look through these glasses. I can see right through a woman's panties. I swear to God, I'm not kidding you.
All right, Harvey, whatever, you know.
I don't mean literal. I'm telling you, it seems like I can, though. I'm not nuts. I don't mean literally, but...
Oh, you don't mean literally. So how well can you see with these glasses?
I swear to God that it's like I can see up in outer space. Like, if I go out tonight and I look at the sky, I can see like the Milky Way, not the Milky Way, but I can see depth between the stars. I can see depth between the stars, and I think I can make out broad swaths of stars in the Milky Way galaxy. That's what I mean. And if I look down the street, I can make out, Bob Chisholm lives down the end of the street, okay? He's got that big house that they just built. And I can see everything right through a window. And I don't mean sexual, but I could. I can see his wife. I can look and I can see. It's beautiful. You got to get a pair of these.
And you're buying these in the supermarket?
Yeah, they're the ones that doctor that you don't want me to mention.
All right.
Okay, so here's the essay. And
where do you get them, Mr. Wireman of Dina Dental Glasses?
Well, you can get them at...
Will you not mention the name of the guy, okay?
No, I want to get a pair.
Yeah, oh, yeah, they're great. Man, I'm telling you, you can hear another galaxy with these.
You can hear it, huh?
Yeah, what did I say, hear? It almost seems like you can hear better. All right. The Federal Comuniani Convenanda in the Stata Hausa. Ein Filet del Pahia on... My toe revise.
Well, you know what, Harvey, you're not speaking English. You don't know how to read, okay?
What do you mean I don't know how to read?
I don't care if you've got glasses that see outer space.
Mr. Wehrman's a lawyer.
I know he's a lawyer. You know something, bud? If you take the side of somebody else against me one more time.
Yeah, well, what are you talking about?
I know he's a lawyer.
I got glasses that see outer space. What are you trying to tell me?
You may be able to see outer space, pal, but you don't know how to reheed. You're saying, Tehe Federal, that's the Federal Convention convened in the State House of Philadelphia to revise the Articles of Confederation.
That's what I said.
No, you didn't. You said, Revahisi Tehe. Jesus, God, I can't believe it. You know.
You're telling me, a graduate of law school.
Yes, exactly what I'm telling you. Yeah, I'm not telling you what the law means, but I'm telling you that your glasses, whether you can see outer space with them or not, you are not reading things properly.
Okay, not be all right. Tell me if I... Taroga. What does that mean, Taroga?
Through.
Bobby says through.
Oh, through. Through discussion.
Discussion.
And...
Debate.
It became a...
Became?
Clear.
Clear. Oh, boy.
What's your problem?
You sound like you just got pulled out of some hospital for people that are brain damaged, and you're learning...
You know something, Henry? I fought for this country in World War II. I swear to God. And if it was in my power... I would make you trade places with one particular Japanese man right now.
That's pretty bad.
Oh, man. I fought for this country in World War II, and if it was in my power, I'd make you trade places with one particular Japanese man right now. Who's that?
I know somebody you killed.
We're going to take a break. I don't need you, Harvey, telling me about the Constitution of the United States. I should never have gotten into the discussion. And take your glasses, and you can see through a woman's dress. You can see outer space and depth between the stars. We'll be back at the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. For patriots, by patriots, it's the Phil Hendry Show.
No, I don't. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. No, I don't. I'm not interested at all in that particular pair of... Yes, if they want to advertise on the show, but I am not going to say that you can see outer space.
Yeah, but that's what he said.
I don't care if that's what he said. I don't care if that's what he said. You understand?
You talk about having integrity and advertising everything.
Yes, you want to have integrity? Harvey can come on here and say, wow, I bought those glasses at the store, and man, I can see outer space. Good for him. I'm not going to say that. Unless I get a pair of them and I see outer space. Then I will.
If you can see up in outer space anyway.
Bud, I can go outside and see the stars, okay?
Yeah.
But I can't go outside and see depth between the stars, and I can't see wide swaths of the Milky Way, and I can't see the surface of Venus. All the stuff that he claims he can see with those glasses, okay, that he bought at the supermarket for $8. Man, I'm telling you, that's beautiful.
What if it's true, though, man?
Why don't you idiots, you know what, I'm going to give you guys, if you want, I'll give you the rest of the show off. Why don't you go over to the store and get some of those glasses, go outside.
You know, I do, but I'm going to wait till after the show. You want to?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, we'll go wait after the show.
Good. You guys wait until after the show, then you go over and get some glasses and see if you can see Mars.
Can we go before just the end?
Bud, do whatever you guys want to do. Don't bother me anymore.
Okay.
All right, here is a news story. Addiction now defined as a brain disorder, not behavior issue. This was something that we'd mentioned when the Amy Winehouse story came out. And, you know, there were all kinds of people saying what a scumbag she is and what a dirtbag she is. And what a, you know, everybody thinks that drug addiction is a character issue. It's not. I'll give you an example. What is a character issue? Character issues have to do with motivation, have to do with your word, have to do with using your potential, have to do with using your potential for the better of other people. These are things that one who wanted to quibble might say, well, that could have to do with brain chemicals, too. Why do you think the word holistic exists? It's because at some point there is a connection between emotion and physiology. Where that point of connection is and where it is where we can discuss the idea of character as opposed to a disorder. Is it a disorder to be a liar? No, not if you know that you're lying and you are lying to benefit yourself and to harm others, or you are lying to benefit yourself regardless of what it does to others. This is not a brain disorder. This is a character issue. Addiction, on the other hand, when one repeats behavior that is clearly destructive, clearly makes them feel bad, clearly makes them wind up in places they wish they were not, clearly makes them regret the things that they do, clearly makes them depressed and makes them cry and makes them sad and makes them wish they were never born, this is now getting into an area of brain disorder, biochemical disorder. Do you like drink? I like to drink. I need to drink. Do you like what it does? No, I don't. Do you like winding up in a nut house? No, I don't want to wind up in a nut house. No, I don't want to die. No, I don't want to wind up in jail. I wish I could stop drinking. I wish I could stop drinking. Then why don't you? I can't. Addiction is a chronic brain disorder and not simply a behavior problem involving alcohol, drugs, gambling, or sex. Experts contend in a new definition of addiction, one that is not solely related to problematic substance abuse. The American Society of Addiction Medicine just released this new definition of addiction after a 4-year process involving more than 80 experts. At its core, addiction isn't just a social problem or a moral problem or a criminal problem. It is a brain problem whose behaviors manifest in all these other areas, said Dr. Michael Miller, past president of ASAM, who oversaw the development of the new definition. Many behaviors driven by addiction are real problems and sometimes criminal acts, but the disease is about brains, not drugs. It's about underlying neurology, not outward actions. The new definition also describes addiction. Let me give an example. They're now finding out that you can control schizophrenia with chemicals, with drugs. They control schizophrenic symptoms. In fact, schizophrenics who are on the right kind of drugs, suddenly they have an integrated reality. Suddenly they see real things and they're talking to real people and they're like, wow, what happened to me? And well, you're talking to people and you hear voices. Yes, I know I do. And so they're able to control that. How? With psychotherapy, with sitting down and finding out why their dad beat them or whether they were molested as a kid? No, by giving them drugs, by giving them chemicals that alter the brain chemistry in a positive way.
I don't get it.
Yeah, I know you don't get it. I ain't explaining it either. Okay, just listen.
Listen, man.
2 decades of advancements in neuroscience convinced ASAM officials that addiction should be redefined by what's going on in the brain. For instance, research has shown that addiction affects the brain's reward circuitry, such that memories of previous experiences with food, sex, alcohol, and other drugs trigger cravings and more addictive behaviors. Brain circuitry that governs impulse control and judgment is also altered in the brain of addicts, resulting in the nonsensical pursuits of rewards, such as alcohol and other drugs. In other words, Remember what we were saying not too long ago?
Yeah, you said they'd get rid of drugs and stuff in 50 years.
That's right. I said 50 years' time they'll get rid of drug addiction because they're already now in the pharmacology end of things. That is the development of, medical, the development of medicines, treatments. They're developing things to help people. So anyway, long-standing debate has rolled over whether addicts have a choice over these behaviors. This disease creates distortion in thinking, feelings, and perceptions, which drive people to behave in ways that are not understandable to others. So all this question about if you didn't want to drink, you wouldn't drink, and it's a behavior problem, they're finding out now has real biochemical roots. And there's a biochemical,
I don't understand.
What's not to understand?
Well, I mean, you're saying that, alcoholic is a... He can't help it and everything. I know that. I've seen my uncle was an alcoholic.
Okay.
So what if you're saying like, they take a drug, they're not going to be alcoholic?
I think that in someday there will be a drug you can take, then you will not be an alcoholic anymore. Exactly. Because there's a biochemical imbalance in the brain that is causing this craving that even though it's a destructive thing, even though every time you drink, you go to jail. Every time you drink, you go to the nut house. Every time you drink, you get injured or you hurt somebody. People still do it. That's not a logical, sensible thing. And it's certainly, we could say, would be the behavior of an insane person. But these people are not insane. In other areas, they're perfectly normal. So now they're saying this is a biochemical thing, see?
Well, I mean, what are you going to take? What kind of drug?
Yeah, what, it's like an aspirin or something?
No, it ain't an aspirin.
Yeah, it's probably taking aspirin or something.
Yeah. You don't tell me I'm taking aspirin, and I ain't going to be no ass. I don't think you got...
Will you guys shut up for a minute and let me talk? When you're taking a drug, it ain't an aspirin. It's something that these doctors develop that help balance the biochemistry. And in some people, yeah, they'll be able to control alcoholism. I don't know when it'll be. I don't know how it'll be. I don't know who it'll be, but... That's where we're headed. And look, man, I talked about this 2 years ago, and here it is. Here's proofs in a pudding, baby. Now they're saying, well, you know, and stuff like that. Now, where the hell is this story I was supposed to read about the vampire? All right, we're going to get to that. Some nut who, some guy, I don't know what his problem is. Oh, here it is. Texas man bites woman, claims to be a vampire, satisfying need to feed. Yeah, sure, pal. In any event, we're going to be talking about that, the arrest of a 19-year-old Texas man. And Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills is going to be joining us on a new fee that he is charging in his restaurant. Ted feels that his celebrity now is such, he should be charging people money if they're going to talk to him. It isn't that he wants to be usurious. It's not that he wants people he didn't want to tap anybody out. But he does feel at this particular time now he has to... But we'll find out, because I don't really know. So that'll be Ted Bell coming up in just a few minutes. 877-876-PHIL is our number, 877-876-7445. Don't forget our website is philhenryshow.com. If you go on our website right now and get a backstage pass, you can look at live streaming video of the show, as well as listen to our audio on the live streaming video feed, and we'll be right back.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here at world famous Phil Hendry Show.
How much did it cost you?
How much does what cost me?
Storage.
You know, that's nobody's business, but the stuff we talk about off the air.
What are you talking about, man?
Well, you were talking about how much the storage is costing you.
The stuff we talk about off the air is nobody's business. About $6,000 a year.
Yeah, I told you.
You win the bet.
Yeah. No, I got stuff in storage. I got to get it out of there, man. I got to get it out of there. I've got to get it out of there. Now, people say, well, then why don't you just get it out of there, Phil? I'll get it out of there. But the thing of it is the difficulty involved has to do with, you know, getting a day off, going over. I mean, I can hire, and I think what I'd like to do is probably hire maybe my son, you know. But they got to know what to move. That's the whole problem. It's been costing me a freaking arm and a leg. And I say this with the greatest of love, and I really mean this, with the greatest of love in my heart for my ex, Maria. I really mean this. I wouldn't wish divorce on anybody. Now, marriage, I'm sure, is just hunky-dory. I see no reason why not to believe that marriage can be a great thing for people. But at the end of the day, when you're, if, and God forbid, if your marriage goes south, all marriage is a business arrangement. And if there is ill will, or if there is anything that is rancorous between yourself and your spouse, your former spouse, you will see very rapidly how much of a business arrangement it is. And this is why so many people become so embittered. And I'm not excusing the behavior of some people. Some human beings need to be locked away in a prison cell for the rest of their lives for the things that they do, the way they treat their children, the way they treat their ex-spouses, the vindictiveness, the hatred that they, you know, you can feel whatever you want. But when you act on these things, some people are violent. I mean, they need to be. They need to be put in a cage and hosed down once a day and maybe tossed a piece of meat if they're good. But the emotions, I understand. Because, you know, what happens is you are disillusioned. What do they call a cynic, a disillusioned romantic? You know, you go from this world of love and caring and concern, and suddenly you're introduced to a world of business. And everybody trying to stick it to you, and you know, you feel that you're being unfairly used, and everything is just upside down, and you wish you had never even met the person. I mean, it's ugly, you know. There's no question about it. So anyway, having said all of that, I've got in a storage locker a bunch of stuff that I haven't really dealt with for about 4 years now. Because I wasn't really sure where I was going to be living, and I wasn't exactly sure how much of that stuff I was going to take with me, how much of that stuff I was going to just give to somebody, maybe her, maybe who, I don't know, how much of that stuff is hers that she needs, and, you know, got to get together on this stuff. And, oh, yeah, by the way, what is the combination to that lock again? And, oh, yeah, by the way, how do we get into the... These things can get lost in the overall craziness of what you're going through. And now I'm wondering what the hell happened to the key to the padlock to the thing where I get in and the da-do-da-da-da-da. So that's why, bud, I haven't gone and gotten the stuff out. But you know what? This weekend...
Yeah, you always say that.
This weekend, I swear it. This Sunday, it's all coming out of there. And I got news for yous, baby.
Yeah, y'all was talking about that, man. I believe it when I see it.
Okay, then why don't you come with me and you can see it. In fact, you can help me move it.
No way, man. I don't mind going over there. Look at that. But I sure... God, who's she?
That ain't a she. That's what's his name? Penn.
Penn? Who's Penn?
The guy from the comedy team.
Her?
That's a him.
Oh, that's him without the beard. You're right, it looks like a fat lady. Anyway...
That's dirty pool.
What's Penn's name, anyway? Biff Penn or Penn Gillette, right? Wasn't he named after the... Named after the razor? All right. Texas man bites a woman, claims to be a vampire, satisfying need to feed. Is pop culture to blame? Dateline, Galveston, Texas. The arrest of some jackass 19-year-old punk kid claiming to be a 500-year-old vampire from hell, as opposed to a 500-year-old vampire from heaven or Baltimore or Romania, has raised chilling questions about pop culture's influence on human behavior. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we're back to that discussion again, aren't we? Lynn Monroe Bensley is being held in Galveston County Jail after allegedly breaking into a woman's apartment and biting her on her neck. The woman, whose name has not been released, broke free and fled the apartment. Well, what kind of a vampire are you, man? Nobody breaks free of a vampire and flees. She sped to safety in a neighbor's car early Saturday. When police arrived on the scene, they found Bensley wearing only boxer shorts, hissing and growling in the parking lot. He quickly scaled two fences before he was captured, yelling all the while that he didn't want to have to feed on humans. Captain Jeff Hayes of the Galveston County Police Department told ABCNews.com, I've dealt with some really strange people, you know, guys who think they're Jesus and that, but I never seen anything like this. Yeah, Napoleon Bonaparte, Jesus, or Dracula. Even in jail, Bensley warned guards to restrain him from their for their own protection, gnashing his teeth with a need to feed, police said. How do these guys keep from laughing? That's my question. Is pop culture to blame? No, that biochemical thing we were talking about, remember? That's to blame. Anyway, it's unclear whether Bensley was intoxicated on drugs at the time of the attack, but police said a psychiatric evaluation is pending. Why would you evaluate him psychiatrically? You don't need to do that. You need to look and see what pop culture did, remember? Maybe it was one of those Anne Rice books. Maybe it's True Blood. Maybe it's Twilight. Maybe it's Twilight Zone. Maybe it's Dracula, Dracula, or just Drac. Bensley's alleged vampire-inspired attack and apparent lament for his superhuman needs brings to mind movies from the, there you go, Twilight Saga and the HBO series True Blood, both of which have a devoted following, according to experts. Yes, after every True Blood and every Twilight Saga, kids run out into the streets wanting to be vampires. That culture, some experts said, could serve as inspiration for people who suffer from mental illness. Now listen to this. This is Josh Klapow, who's a clinical psychologist. And the content of a psychotic episode very often draws from the real world. Vampires are very prominent in our society right now from a pop culture standpoint, and that information can feed into hallucinations. All right, you hear what he said? He didn't say that the pop culture is causing people to be nuts. He's saying that the pop culture may feed into a nut's brain and create vampire hallucinations as opposed to Napoleon Bonaparte hallucinations, as opposed to Jesus Christ hallucinations.
Well, what you're saying then is the guy's still nuts.
Yes, he's still nuts. But what the doctor here is saying is that depending upon what the imagery is in society, that's what the hallucination... The guy's going to hallucinate, okay?
Then the guy's going to flip out anyway.
He's going to flip out either... Back in the day, you remember when they used to see cartoons? Guys would think they were Napoleon. Napoleon was a big deal back in the 19th century. He was internationally known. He was famous. So the nut houses were full of guys who thought they were Napoleon. Very, very famous hallucination, in fact, to the point that it lasted through the 20th century in popular culture. We'd hear about these guys that thought they were Napoleon with their hand in their jacket bouncing off the walls at a nut house. Then there's guys that always said they were Jesus. We know about them. That's now you got people that think they're vampires. Now you got people that think that they're Dracula. Maybe there's probably some guy out there that thinks he's the, you know, the head, the guy that started all the vampires, whoever that is.
Who's that?
I don't know. What do you mean, who's that?
Who's the first guy?
I don't know. There's no such thing as vampires. Anyway, that's Dr. Josh Klapow. Hallucinations, multisensory experiences not based in reality, can stem from substance abuse, mania brought on by bipolar disorder, or schizophrenia. And vampires, Klapow said, are good fodder. If you look at the content of these sorts of hallucinations, even though the characters are slightly different, the themes tend to be similar, he said, describing the comedy-reported hallucinations of being a powerful religious figure like Jesus or a supernatural being. The richer the content, the more prevalent it is, and the more nuances there are to it, the easier it becomes to run with. So if you've got a garden-variety crazy guy, and he's going to hallucinate something, he's going to hallucinate whatever. It's just the fact that there's a damaged brain that is taking in all of this sensory stuff. And depending upon what era that damaged brain lives in, that's what the hallucination's going to be, and that's what the guy is, you know.
Yeah, so that guy thought he's in his underwear thinking a vampire. Like, what? Why didn't he think he Napoleon?
There ain't no Napoleon no more.
There's no Napoleon anymore, man. There's vampires.
What about, like, Barack Obama?
Barack Obama, that's not a very powerful hallucination. See, that's not a really powerful hallucination.
Yeah, but Napoleon, what makes him so powerful?
Well, Napoleon had a three-cornered hat. I don't know. I mean, look, that was the 19th century where they didn't have a whole lot. You know, I imagine somebody that was psychotic in the 19th century, whatever came into his sensory receptors, that's what it was. I mean, they didn't have TV and radio in the 19th century. So they didn't have films. So people sort of just grabbed what they could in a damaged brain. is going to do the same thing. Barack Obama, what are you talking about?
You have a guy thinking Napoleon.
Barack Obama's not as good a hallucination as a vampire. Barack Obama's just this dude. He's the president, which is fine, but he can't fly. He ain't, you know.
Just like a vampire's way better.
A vampire is a way better hallucination. Exactly. For the victim of the alleged attack, who after hearing a noise in her apartment was punched in her bed, dragged into a hallway, pinned against a wall, and bitten. The ordeal was horrific. She's never met Bensley and didn't know why he attacked her. His bond is $40,000. He was charged with burglary with intent to commit assault. Boy, that's sick. Boy, that's whack, man. You know?
Yeah, somebody crawl in my house, think they're a vampire, I blow their brains out of their head.
I think that's a very good idea. I think it's a very good idea. This guy could have been dead. He could have been dead. The wrong house, you're dead. Simple as that. The wrong house, some homeowner raises up with their constitutional rights right there in their hand, and they blow that poor vampire's head off. And then he ain't so much of a vampire, you know?
Well.
What do you mean, well?
If he was real vampire, but not. I know that there's not.
Yeah, if he was a real vampire, then you could have pumped about 19 million shots into him, and he still would have come at you and sucked all your blood out. But he's not a real vampire, so there you go. All right, we're going to come back here in the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Don't forget our website is philhendryshow.com. Do nice employees have an edge in the workplace, or do your mean, less agreeable coworkers have the leg up? There's a new study that offers an answer, and we'll have that for you on the Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for Patriots. Bye, Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Radio for Patriots. Bye, Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Pardon me, folks. We're looking for a... what the hell are we looking for, bud?
Looking for find an American flag.
Yeah, we were looking on YouTube for an American flag because we always end our video cast with the Star-Spangled Banner, and we were looking for a decent star... We were actually looking for a good American flag waving in the wind. There are a great many good selections, but there are also selections that the people that created them have really crappy music that they put behind them, so I'm sure you understand. All right, so that's that. Do nice employees. Now, what is this story, bud?
This is about employees to get, you know.
Well, I don't know. Let's see if we want to do this story or not, because, you know, there's only so much time left in the show, and I want to make sure that we've gotten to every bit of information that we have to. Oh, I want to tell people, because I don't really care about these stories.
Well, I worked really hard, man. I pulled all these stories.
I know you worked hard, but I don't really give a damn about I'm not like, you know, we're not such news junkies. Or I don't care. Now, the first thing I want to say is that we have our lookalike contest.
Yeah, we got to go and check and see how many people put their faces on there. Got to put your face in there.
Yeah, but don't put it like, why do you talk to people like you're just pushing them around on a sidewalk? All we're looking for is a Phil lookalike. So take a picture of yourself looking like me in my Twitter profile picture. Send it to us at twitter.com/RealPhilHendry. And we will put it on our homepage, and we will judge and have a winner. We'll announce a winner on Saturday, okay? So everybody should have it done by Friday night. So that's that. And even though the prize is an autographed Legacy CD, you know, Robert thinks that it's cheap and we should do something better. Well, guess what, man? That's the prize. I mean, if we do a contest in the future that's got some real oomph, you know, where we're like giving away something really cool, I'll let you know, man. But it's not going to be this, all right?
Why are you doing this in the first place?
Because some guy had sent me a picture of somebody they thought looked like me. And I said, no, I don't think that guy looks like me. And we got to talking about it, and we decided, well, what the hell? So there's that. What else? All right, so we have that. Well, just get over to our website and get a backstage pass. So this way you'll be able to stay up on everything that's happening on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. You get all of our archive material. You get all of our daily podcasts. Now, the daily podcast on our show is simply the radio show minus all of the commercials. You can get that the next day. It is uploaded or downloaded, I should say, directly to your iPod. You can sign up for it through our website and iTunes. Just go to philhendryshow.com. You need to have a backstage pass to get a hold of that. You also can look at our video casts, and of course we have thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of material on our website. If you go over there, you can take a look at that at philhendryshow.com. It may not be nice to, it may not pay to be nice in the workplace. A new study finds that agreeable workers earn significantly lower income than less agreeable ones. The gap is especially wide for men. The researchers examined agreeableness using self-reported survey data and found that men who measured below average on agreeableness earned about 18% more money, $9,772 more annually in their sample than nicer guys. Ruder women, meanwhile, earned about 5% or $1,828 more. Nice guys are getting the shaft, says the study co-author Beth A. Livingston, an assistant professor of human resource studies at Cornell. Well, there is the old saying that nice guys finish last. That was coined by...
Yeah, who said that?
Leo DeRocher, who was a... Leo DeRocher was the manager of the Giants, I think, at the time, when he said, nice guys finish last. The study, Do Nice Guys and Gals Really Finish Last?, by Dr. Livingston, Timothy A. Judge of the University of Notre Dame, and Charlize Hurst of the University of Western Ontario, is to be presented on Monday in San Antone at the annual meeting of the Academy of Management, a professional organization for management scholars. So the researchers analyzed data, and they found out, and see, here's the thing. We all know this is true. I mean, I don't think that they're coming up with it. But what they do is they will say, well, this is what we think the perception is. I wonder if it's true or not, you know, that nice guys and nice women, that they get the shaft, you know. It is true. First of all, you can start in your own family. You remember we were talking about Casey Anthony's brother?
Yeah.
That guy, Lee Anthony?
Yeah, he was like the nice guy.
Exactly. Lee Anthony was the nice guy in that family. Well, guess what happened to Lee Anthony? He wasn't allowed to partake in the birth of his niece. Nobody told him about that. He's run around and sent on this errand, and he's run around and sent on that errand, and he's the guy that's got to go find his sister, and he's the guy that's got to go clean up this mess. And you take a look at that mother, that Cindy Anthony, and you knew that, and you saw the father, and then you saw that lion sack of crap, that sister. This guy, Lee Anthony, there's the nice guy in that family. And that's the guy that got the shaft. That's the guy that got treated the worst of all of them. And now you go to the workplace. Well, who the hell, you remember the old saying, the squeaky wheel gets the grease?
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
The squeaky wheel gets the grease. You don't know what that means?
Uh-oh.
The squeaky wheel gets the grease means if you make enough noise, people pay attention to you, and they give you what you need.
But what do you mean, squeaky wheel?
If you're the squeaky, if you make a lot of noise, okay?
Yeah.
Then people will pay attention to you.
Well, what do you mean noise?
Are you talking about, you're not talking about noise.
I'm talking about, are you guys, you can't be this dumb, you know?
No, you said a squeaky wheel.
I'm saying if you are complaining all the time, people are going to pay attention to you, and they're going to say, gee, why is this person complaining? And they're going to pay attention, they're going to give you the stuff that you need or not or whatever, you know?
What about if they don't?
The point is that people are going to try to find out how to shut you up. Okay? Blah, 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 blah. Some of these people complaining morning, noon, night. How do we shut them up? Okay? So the squeaky wheel gets the grease. Or if you're, you know, you can always just close your ears to it and then close your eyes, close your ears. And the next thing you know, you turn around and the things turn into some sort of a, you know, a disease or so. You don't want to do that. So that's what squeaky wheel gets the grease means. So what they're doing with this study is they're basically looking into and studying what we've already known for many years, that if you bitch and you piss, and excuse my French, and you moan, then you're going to get people's attention and make more money.
So the moral of the story is be an ass.
The moral of the story is basically, yes, be an ass, and you will get what you want in this world. People won't like you, but who cares about that? You know, it's all about, you know, getting the, getting paid, you know.
Yeah.
Get paid. World famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Jason Rantz. Technical director is Dan Northcraft. Our associate producers are Fred Scotty and Chris Johnson. Our website, philhenryshow.com, for a backstage pass. Make sure you get your pictures to us for the Phil lookalike contest. What else, what else, what else, what else? We'll see you tonight. Thank you. I don't have any flag waving for the anthem, but, you know.
Get one for tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Phil Henry.